Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
First of all, 100%. Why now? I've entered my fifth year. The end of this year, I'll be close to 68 years old. I've always said to the board, and the board has been very prepared, I would give them plenty of notice so that they could understand and plan succession in regular order. And that's what this is about. It's me giving them notice that at the end of this year, I plan to retire. And then them taking the actions that they've taken.
Boeing's Dave Calhoun says he's stepping down as CEO. Good Monday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer at Post 9 of the New York Stock Exchange. David Faber has the morning off. Pre-market's red on this final week of Q1 and plenty of activity for a holiday shortened week. That executive shakeup at Boeing and at least three firms eyeing higher year-end S&P targets. Our roadmap begins with Boeing, though. Dave Calhoun stepping down at year-end. Chairman and head of commercial airplanes also leaving in the wake of those ongoing safety concerns. The EU launching a probe into big tech, going after Meta, Apple, and Alphabet. And stocks are looking to build on their bull run, both the Dow and the S&P posting their best weeks of the year. Let's begin, though, with the shakeup at Boeing in the wake of that company's safety crisis. Jim, we heard Calhoun with Phil, and you said
yes,
as predicted.
Yeah, but I just spoke to David. I think that this is something that kind of had to be done, not forced necessarily, but the idea that they have to pick someone new. David's going to stay at the end of the year. It's a long cycle business. That makes sense. But you get someone new in there. Maybe you get a little less heat. I think that the FAA is charging every single mistake leads back to Boeing, even if it's just someone bumping into a pilot seat. And it's gotten a little extreme. So maybe a fresh face will do something. Internal candidate, Ms. Pope, which I think is very good. Mollenkopf is a tough guy. I mean, those of us who know Mollenkopf know he was willing to take on Apple when he was at Qualcomm. He is not the kind of guy who has any allegiance to anyone other than the company. So when you bring someone in like that, he's basically the most honest actor you could find. I remember him just when I did a corporate governance interview with him. And what I was struck by was he doesn't play for dinner.
Yeah.
I mean, he just says, okay, look, what does that to be? He's very quiet, but he's very tough.
So the price action this morning is deserved.
It's indicative of the idea that the problems are now are not on Boeing because they've obviously taken the action that I think a lot of people just feel it's just easier to sacrifice someone. Now, honestly, if it was real sacrifice, obviously they would tell Calhoun to just hit the road. They're not. I think what they're saying is orderly transition. This is a firm, by the way, where it's really hard to have it. You don't want to just like have someone go because this is safety. This is planes. This is the gold standard. It's not like they're not making planes anymore.
Yeah.
So, like, I think it's going to work out. Now, they don't have a cash problem. I know that Dave is going to finish buying Spirit. He will buy Spirit in order to be able to make it so they're in charge of the fuselage. But I also see the pressure's off them. I don't think you're going to read a story every day about Ms. Pope. You're just not. You're not going to say, well, you know what, let's just slag her.
Right.
So no one's going to slag her. And Dave is like, you know, when on the way out, why do we blame him? I mean, he's done everything he can. You know, Phil knows more than
I
do.
Well, your point about Spirit and vertical integration is key because that was a topic in the chat with our Phil LeBeau. Speaking of which, Phil joins us this morning with his reflections on the news and the interview. Phil, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. And I think what stands out here is the fact that this is a reset for Boeing. Now, you could make an argument, and I know there will be. I've already heard from people who have said, why isn't Calhoun out right now? Well, he is staying to basically run the day-to-day operations as they work their way through an intense crisis right now. Stephanie Pope will now move into the head position at Boeing Commercial Airplanes. You don't want to just immediately say all new management because that would probably add even more pressure to the current situation. And this clears the deck for Steve Mollenkopf to lead a CEO search. The last time that Boeing went outside of the company and did an extensive months after months search for the right person, you have to go back to when Jim McNerney was brought in from 3M. And that was a case where they had a couple of situations with Harry Stonecipher, Phil Condit, and people were saying, what's the deal here? Can't they get their act together? They brought in Jim McNerney, and it was the right choice at the right time. That's the task for Steve Mollenkopf now and the board of directors. And by the way, Dave Calhoun will weigh in terms of his thoughts about who should be hired in terms of the skill set, not necessarily the person, but in terms of the skill set, what's required. And I think at the end of the day, when you look at all three of these, this is a reset for the company. Doesn't mean they're out of the woods. Lord knows they've got a number of issues. They've got investigations. They've got the FAA oversight. A lot of things are going to be happening here over the next several weeks and months. But in terms of trying to map what's going to happen down the road, this is the reset that they were looking for.
Now, Phil, this does get them, I think, out of the regulatory woods. I mean, I think there are people who say, why isn't Calhoun taking action? Suddenly you have Calhoun staying to be able to get an orderly transition. And he becomes much less of a, what I regard as a distraction, whether you think he's good or not. It really doesn't matter. They wanted, I think they wanted a head.
Right.
They got their head. Mollenkopf is so untouchable that you got to believe that whoever he picks, whoever he leads toward, is just not going to be someone who is same old, same old. He's too tough. So in many ways, this is a very positive transition, I think.
And the choice of Steve Mollenkopf becoming the chair and then leading the CEO search, that's important because Larry Kellner has been on the board since 2010. And if you're going to have a new CEO brought in, you want it to be the board's CEO. Is Larry Kellner going to be on this board? Would he have stayed on this board, let's say, another 3 years, 4 years? Probably not. He's been here since 2010. I think the realization was, let's move into Steve Mollenkopf being the chair, leading the CEO search, so we can pick our next CEO. I think that's critical for Boeing at this point. And Jim, to your first point, in terms of, you know, being out of the woods and whether or not, you know, we will see as many headlines, I think a lot of that depends on how quickly they can make the changes that are needed to be made when it comes to 737 MAX production. This issue of traveled work, this has long been a problem here. This is not a new issue. This didn't just come up in the last couple of years. This has been going on for a long time. And that's the issue of if a particular job is not done on a 737 MAX or really any aircraft, if it's not done when it's at this position on the assembly line, send it down to the next position, we'll tag it, we'll come back and do the work. That has created a slew of problems. So as Dave Calhoun said today when we were talking with him, slow down the production. Let's get it right, make sure we get it right, then we can talk about increasing production.
Couple other questions, Phil. One is the Machinist Union telling the FT they're seeking a board seat to, quote, save the company from itself. And then I'm curious about your thoughts as to how the attention seems to be shifting a bit to UAL, which we'll talk about later this morning, too.
Well, first of all, on the Machinist looking for a board seat, not surprised. And remember, their contract comes up in September, and the negotiations have already begun. That's likely going to be a contentious negotiation for all the reasons that we saw with the UAW and the automakers and really with a lot of organized labor and any company right now. So we know that that's coming up. Not surprised that they want to have a board seat. Whether they're successful or not remains to be seen. In terms of UAL and the FAA, this is a broader problem within the industry. And I've talked to people at a number of airlines. You think back to what happened during the pandemic. And remember at first, there were not bailouts, but it was money that was given to the airlines from Congress, essentially saying, look, this is to make sure that you can make payroll to keep everybody in place while we figure out how big the pandemic is going to be. But at some point, that money ran out, and Congress said, sorry, you've got to make choices. What did the airlines do? Prudently, instead of declaring bankruptcy, they said, we got to cut staff. And so they started offering buyouts. And who are the people who left at most airlines? People between, let's say, 50 or 55 and 60 or 65. You know how much institutional knowledge has gone? It's out the door. And yes, the airlines have hired. And yes, they have refilled these jobs. I am convinced that that institutional knowledge going out the door, whether at a manufacturer or whether at an airline, that is critical. And that doesn't mean that, you know, everybody brought in isn't trained. But it's not the same, guys. There's a lot of things that go into the maintenance of an aircraft that as diligent as the airlines are making sure that everything is done the right way, you know, they went through a big speed bump coming out of the pandemic, and I think we're starting to see a little bit of that.
All right, so Phil, how about the Justice Department investigation, which is really related to Seattle? It's a West Coast one. Does that go away, or is that just still here?
No, it continues. But, Jim, I think when you look at that investigation, and I know there have been some headlines, the FBI says, well, we want to talk with some of the people who were on the Alaska Airlines flights. You may have been a victim of a crime. And that immediately gets people thinking, ooh, is there something nefarious going on here? Did somebody purposely not put the bolts in that door? I think more along the lines of the way you should look at this is the Justice Department. Remember, they had a deferred prosecution agreement with Boeing that extends through June. And that agreement called for Boeing to keep its nose clean for 3 years. Clearly, that hasn't happened. So now the question becomes, do you extend that deferred prosecution agreement? Is there another fine to Boeing? Is it possible that there will be some truly criminal activity? Sure, I'm not going to say it's not a possibility. I think it's highly, highly, highly unlikely. I think this is a case of sloppy manufacturing, and the DOJ is investigating, you know, just to make sure it's not something more significant.
Well, justice still, but yes, I totally agree. Obviously, Phil knows more.
Phil, appreciate it. Obviously, hugely valuable to have you there this morning on this huge news. Phil LeBeau at Boeing this morning. Let's move on to the market's record run as we begin this holiday shortened week. Jim, a lot of firms out today throwing out Oppy 5500, HSBC 5400, Goldman toying with a six handle.
It's almost as people are saying, oh, you know what? Like, let's just forget that it's just being driven by a couple of companies and let's just embrace. Embrace the fact that we've got a lot of things going. Now, some of this, I think, is an embrace of what happened last week at NVIDIA, which is that, you know, look, there's a change coming. People are going AI. It's accelerating earnings. So let's get on board. Let's not be left behind by a change in the mega caps in that they really are accelerating. Look, after being out there last week, it's really hard not to think that everybody's doing better than you thought.
Is that true?
I mean, they don't talk about the Federal Reserve very much. They talk about Blackwell and not the Disney Challenger Blackwell. A lot of these guys, I mean, I saw the stock was down, it was up, NVIDIA was up. But it's basically, I want everyone to think of it like this. Blackwell can read Moby Dick in a second. Blackwell can make a drink for you, shaken, not stirred, with a robot. Current robots only know to make a drink by, you know, giving you a vodka and tonic. Mm. And the Blackwell is so much faster that if you look at Claude 3, which is clearly the one that everyone's using, it will become much wiser. The other ones, people think that ChatGPT is robotic. And they think that that Gemini is just bullet points. People are using Claude 3 out there, and that's Amazon. And a lot of the things that you see are going to benefit Amazon because they are all in. I think Amazon and Dell are the two companies that I was shocked are so far ahead of dealing with everybody else with Jensen. They have they've embraced all the way.
Amazon and Dell.
Amazon and Dell. They're the two that I'm in charitable trust in Amazon. I came back and thinking, wow. Dell, Michael Dell in the front row.
Right.
Jensen would tell you, listen, we partner with everybody. But Dell seems to be the being able to make it so that's who you call if you want to do the factory of the future or Siemens. And Amazon Web Services is someone that just says, you know what? The faster, the better. We'll take care of it. We're your best partner. We'll buy everything. At one point, I asked Jensen about Andy Jassy, the CEO of Amazon. Would he buy everything? And he said he'd buy anything he can get his hands on. Hmm. So there are a lot of companies that want these chips. I mean, it's kind of insane.
It is insane. Meanwhile, we got some regulation news, right, out of the EU today.
Yeah.
We know the ongoing stuff with DOJ and FTC here regarding a host of companies. Then you got the Chinese reportedly curbing some use of Intel and AMD chips.
Yeah, Chinese government taking some action. Boy, they're really pummeling AMD and Intel. NVIDIA doesn't make that lower end for the PC. I don't know. Look, I think that Europe is now eyes glazed over. They seem to want to go after everybody. I spent a lot of time on the Apple Justice Department suit, and I'm not going to say it's fatuous because it's the Justice Department. The same way I can't say the Justice Department's fatuous when it comes to Boeing because Justice Department's too frightening to just ignore. But I think that the Apple reaction was strange because you're talking about a 3 to 5 year before you'll really see anything. I think Apple files this is on the Apple Justice this week. They'll file a motion to dismiss in May. may actually work. I don't think that people, there were settlement talks. And the settlement talks involved, from what I can tell, Apple basically saying, listen, we have no problem with a lot of this, which makes me feel that it's much more of a show trial against Apple.
Huh.
And it was kind of sad. I felt sad that this is what it's come to. It's like, well, we haven't gotten Apple yet. Let's just go Apple, particularly because Apple was, they came in peace in the talks, and I think it was. I'm not, again, it's not shameful. It's the Justice Department, but I do think that they're just like, okay, they're big. Let's find some things, because what they found, anyone who uses Apple or knows Apple knows that these were not. There was no smoking gun. I kept on going with them. I said, where's the smoking gun? Where's the smoking gun? No smoking gun. A lot of errors, well-documented errors.
Yes.
And look, if Jonathan Cantor wants to go after them, you can go after anybody. I mean, that's the thing that we learned, is you can go after anybody. But if it's big and it's powerful, I think this administration feels like it's Standard Oil or Microsoft in 2000. But the share that Apple has is much smaller than Microsoft.
Meantime, we're watching images of Cook and a bunch of other CEOs, by the way, in China, meeting with President Xi. And then we're going to talk to the Melius analyst later today about idea that maybe Apple knows exactly what it's doing on AI.
Ben Reeses is the strongest now. He's really distinguished himself. I saw Ben when I was out there. It's hard to miss Ben, because Ben is the guy who's been most right by a mile. So I'm glad we have him on. I think it's he who laughs last, because what will happen is you'll end up speaking to this. This will be your AI device, and people don't seem to understand that. I also felt that the idea that there could be a tie-up between the Vision Pro and the industrial portion of NVIDIA is just a gimme. If Tim comes back and wants to embrace Jensen, like everyone else, then I think the stock goes much higher.
Right. Speaking of which, there is some speculation today that maybe there's better clarity on timing of a Vision Pro getting to China. And Cook did make some remarks while there over the weekend. Take a listen.
There's an old saying that if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go farther, go together.
Right.
We would not be able to achieve our objectives, nor would we have been able to achieve our carbon neutrality on the watch without our suppliers. So I was visiting with several of our suppliers earlier this week with like BYD and Lens and Everwin. We found people, our partners, not only being receptive, but being aggressive and loving the challenge. They've not only been receptive to the goal, they've been innovating and figuring out new ways of doing things. Huge contribution.
Cook was there to open the Shanghai store, second biggest store in the world after Fifth Avenue.
Well, monumental. I do think, by the way, that if you want to talk waste and you want to talk heat, you want to talk emissions, go talk to Jensen. Jensen Wong's probably, I think, a visionary about this. It's one of the reasons why everything is about waste and everything is about heat. He just talks about it constantly, to the point where if you don't talk about it at the very beginning, I think questions like, are you listening? He's hard not to listen to because he's so much fun. I mean, what can I say? I mean, Jensen is the greatest force in technology today, and I think that Tim Cook and Eddie Q have got to sit down with him on the Vision Pro, because he's got ideas for the Vision Pro that are better than what the watch companies have with China.
We'll get to energy as well with that big piece in the journal today about the future of the grid and the demand that we're going to be putting on it in the next 5 years. Take a look at the pre-market here. A lot to get to. We got a smattering of data this week and some Fed speak. Powell on Friday. Of course, PCE as well, on a day where the market will be closed. Futures remain red. We're back in a minute.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Time for Cramer's Smash Dash as we count down to the opening bell.
Quietly, the banks have been real stars here, obviously overshadowed by everything going with AI. And there's a piece here this morning by Mike Mayo. Mike's got a hot hand. Citi. He's saying Citi goes higher. Now, look at this. This is Citi on its march to its tangible book value, which obviously is much higher. He's saying price target 80. Hard to disagree with this. Let's not forget, this group is a signature group. You need this group going higher, and they are. Wells has been terrific. Obviously, J.P. Morgan, all overshadowed. Now, there's possibility Morgan Stanley because of the Reddit IPO. We need to see more IPOs, but you do have a lot of things going with the bank group, and a lot of this has to do with, again, with rate cuts, not as aggressive as possible. They can't deal with aggressive rate cuts. They don't do as well, but I like this call, and I think Citi's, it's working.
Right. Well, it's been chart technicians have been after this.
Yes.
And a lot of the fundamental analysis.
Look at this. I mean, come on.
Yes. Versus a 10% gain on the S&P year to date.
Yeah.
They're going to lead us into Q1 earnings season. Is it going to be a good tell? And was it a good tell for Q4?
I think that they can tell a compelling story. A lot of times what happens with the bank stocks is they may do a number and then they may be subdued about credit. I think that there'll be some credit problems, but they have reason to be able to say, look, we think that there's going to be a normalization. In a normalization, we're going to get a lot more IPOs. We have a lot more bond deals. We'll have more M&A. Obviously, if they think that there's a change in the White House, there'll be tons of M&A. It's interesting because all the agencies seem to go after all the businesses. They're running out of time. If they lose, there are some of these cases will continue. The Justice Department suit against Apple will continue. But again, I think the Justice Department suit is lacking in merit.
So, but is your point that regardless of the outcome in November, that there might be a lighter touch from here on out?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that's good news for M&A.
Yeah, I think that they've been beaten. You know, they can stop the Albertsons deal, which I understand. Doesn't matter. Look at the stock of Kroger.
Right.
I mean, Kroger are dropping. The stock's been red hot. Kroger and Cindy are two very unsung heroes. It's really exciting for Kroger to do well because they're a very good company, and they have a lot of AI, which is amazing. If you don't have AI, honestly, I mean, we have to get AI. We have to be able to see around the corner. That's what Jensen's like. Well, you know, you need a robot that sees around the corner. And I'm like, what doesn't a robot do? And then I'm glad David's not here because David would be saying we have to smash the robots.
Yes, yes.
Not smashing the robots.
Skynet's going self-aware.
Yeah, yes. I think, by the way, isn't there a simulation on the 10?
On the 10?
On the 10
oh,
o'clock
yes.
here.
We're going to keep that a surprise.
Yes, we are.
But there's
a special simulation coming.
Meantime, the opening bell's coming up in less than 5 minutes. And don't forget, you can catch us anytime, anywhere. Just listen to and follow the Squawk on the Street Opening Bell podcast.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
Jim was just mentioning AI. Salesforce's Mark Benioff posing a question on the minds of many investors in a post on X over the weekend. He asks, how will we know we've hit the top of the AI hype cycle? Includes a photo of a box of Oral-B toothbrushes featuring AI in the products, Jim.
Well, look, Mark's having some fun. I think that when I deal with... I think every company feels like it has to have an AI strategy. In a lot of ways, what an AI strategy is just to say, okay, what's the future? And look, you can put it through Claude. I mean, call it three and say, well, what do we do? Oral-B having a genius brush. I mean, I don't know. I use this Colgate brush. It seems like it's genius. I didn't know it was AI. Maybe it is AI. AI just happens to be what do you have any data? And if you have some data, maybe it shows, let's skew it this way.
Right.
I don't think that there's a top, because I think that there's a lot of companies that really need help. And they need to bring in a Dell. They need to bring in a... They have to, like, Medtronic is doing a lot of stuff in terms of a really great medical equipment that works better. GE Healthcare, J&J. I mean, they're just doing it. It's better. It's a step better than what we have because it's more predictive. This toothbrush doesn't sound like it's more predictive, right? Mark has Oral-B.
You never know. You never know. It might catch the spot that you missed.
Right, right. Well, I mean, Matthew McConaughey, maybe that's the top. Yeah. Guy walking through streets of gold.
Let's get the opening bell here and the CNBC real-time exchange with the big board. It's Eaton Vance, total return bond ETF at the NASDAQ. It's clean energy company and uranium producer Encore Energy. Energy, actually, Jim, just behind Infotech and Comm Services for the year.
Yeah, well, I think that we all kind of recognize a lot of takeovers. They've granted a lot of takeovers. There hasn't been a lot of resistance to takeovers. We need to have... We have to make peace with fossil fuels, I think is what's happening. Have to be more pragmatic. I mean, that is the theme, that we can't just dismiss them. There's tremendous numbers of pipelines coming on. If you look at One Oak, they're transitioning to being oil and gas. When you look at Enterprise, they're doing so much to be able to make it so that things are fractioned. You get a lot of plastic out of it.
Yeah.
But most important is we're going to be having these very large crude carriers that are going to be able to come out. And I think that what's going to happen is that we're really going to become an export power now. And I also think that the idea that it's peaking, that production's peaking, is just false. I think that they don't want to overwhelm the market and move oil down. They could do that. But our companies are, they're sitting on a lot of oil that they have not drilled.
Yes.
And it's very positive.
Oil today snapping a three-day loss streak on some of the geopolitical tensions over the weekend. Of course, the Moscow attack on Friday, Jim. By the way, Goldman, this call on raw materials, saying it could return 15% this year as rates decline, manufacturing recovers. They're talking copper, gold, aluminum, oil.
I think that those need China back. And we're still not getting any sign that China's back. I think that China, when you go over the regular business that they would do, say, with a Procter, with a 3M, there's no. I mean, those companies have no desire to really expand their business in China. They're trying to do business in what I kept hearing in terms of where people are doing business, Mexico and Brazil. That Mexico is so hot, and that China is trying to go backdoor Mexico into the United States, and they will succeed right now.
Right. Well, no surprise they're reaching out to international business, trying to stem that capital outflow.
I thought that, look, you can have copper up without China. It's hard because one-third of copper is China, but actually it's more half.
We did get Barclays today cutting Nike down to 114 and Lulu.
Nike. Yeah, we should talk about Nike and Lulu. I think there's new competitors to Lulu. Vuori is there. I think that Lulu is not alone in its space. Gap is rejuvenated. I can't rule out Athleta. Look at Gap stores. That's been the hot stock.
Yeah.
That's been the hot stock, GPS. Yeah. So Lulu has real competitors for the first time in a long time. Nike, we're hearing, my Travel Trust mistakenly owns, and I say mistakenly because it's been a disaster, Foot Locker. We're hearing that that Nike's saying, okay, look, we got to do more work in the wholesale channel, which is Foot Locker.
Upgrade but, today over at Evercore.
Yeah, you know what? Look, I'm thrilled because it's been a very weak stock. But that's about Nike being more aggressive. And my problem with that is that Nike had a really, you know, Nike did not have a good quarter. And I think that there's a recognition that maybe their product line needs to be refreshed entirely. It was sad. I thought Nike was sad. Nike's been a leader. A lot of people just don't worry. Nike comes back. Don't worry. I felt worry. I felt that if they have to start embracing Foot Locker more, that's
right.
A strategy.
Yeah, no, some of the weekend takes were kind of tough.
Yes,
talking about Nike as a more of a mid-market fashion brand now.
This is happening. It's happening very fast. In the same way that people didn't see Abercrombie, they didn't see, New Balance as being, it's a private company, New Balance taking a lot of share. I think Nike's very worried about New Balance.
Although the only Dow names doing better at the moment are Boeing, which we talked about.
Right.
And then Disney today, Jim. Barclays goes to overweight.
Well, I think a lot of people feel the more agitation, the better. I do think that Disney's very focused on making a lot of money. And I think that's correct because they're very focused on keeping Nelson Peltz off the board. I think people feel that they're developing some strategies with sports that we don't know about, with Jimmy Pitaro, whom is loved. See, there's a loved guy. Everybody loves him. I don't know anybody who says, be careful with Pitaro. No one says that. Everyone says, hey, sit down and have a beer with him or have a Diet Coke with him. I mean, he's a very smart guy, and a lot of people, I think, would love to see him be CEO.
Interesting. Barclays' point is that positive earnings revisions are more likely. They go to 135. They were at 95. And then we have a pretty good-looking doc online, our Alex Sherman, where Chapek speaks out.
Wow, that was good.
Yes.
Alex Sherman's good. I don't mean, wow, shocking. But, I think that there's a sense that Disney is a renewed company and focused on making money. By the way, theme parks are back in focus. Anyone who has a theme park is doing really well. Now, we work for Comcast, and Comcast has theme park extension, and it's a great business in the absence of having a Netflix business.
Yeah.
The new Disney, I've been trying to figure out the ESPN Plus, what it gets me, and I'm waiting.
You mean the skinny bundle? Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to know what it gives me in terms of football.
Yes.
It's not clear. It may be clear to some, but it's not clear to me. How about that?
This is the highest price for Disney since August of 22.
Well, look, I mean, is Peltz making a difference? I think that anytime you have someone saying, you guys better start making more money, the tendency is to think, wow, we got to find some ways to make money. You know, they go $5 billion in cost to $7.5 billion. It's like, wow, they have a lot of fat that there's $7.5 billion to find. It's a lot of fat. But then I'm reminded that FedEx, with its Drive business, its Drive restructuring, has found just a huge amount of fat. FedEx has done very well without any revenue growth.
Well, this is Mike Wilson's big point over the weekend at Morgan Stanley, looking at operational efficiencies,
yes,
trying to offset the tightness of front-end rates, which will drive margins higher, which he thinks could lead to higher earnings revisions at the index level.
Yes, I agree with that. I mean, we had a lot of companies, Opco raised its price target for the S&P.
Yeah.
They said that it could be 22 times earnings versus, say, 21.7, whatever. That's this margin expansion.
John goes to 250.
Yes,
S&P.
I think the margin expansion is uncanny. I mean, these companies are just so good at what they do. A lot of companies are laying off. I mean, I'm starting to hear also there's another tone which says there's weakness in the economy. I think there's weakness in some retail. I think the one to follow, by the way, is Macy's. And the reason I say that is because I didn't think the Macy's bid was a serious bid. And I know that Tony Spring just came in, and I thought he'd get a chance. And yet the board has said, you know what, let's let them in.
Right.
Where I felt that Macy's had gotten rid of a lot of the fat under Jeff Gennett. So I'm following that one because that's a big difference between what you get if the buyer comes in and gets it. I'm also following it, ARM, because ARM's doing well, even though AMD and Intel are being, punished. So not all semis are being punished.
Yeah. Well, I think it was it Barron's 2 weeks ago said ARM may be the best growth tech store outside of NVIDIA.
Rene Haas is incredible. And I regret that I was waiting for the lockup expiration to buy that stock for the Charitable Trust. Did not get a chance. I think it's a horse. It's doing very, very well. It is this very strong NVIDIA partner. Remember, NVIDIA tried to buy them. And the other NVIDIA partner, just in terms of the food chain, is Synopsys. So NVIDIA designs the chip. Synopsys then goes and puts software in it. It gets it so that there's 208 billion transistors. And then they take it to Taiwan Semi. So you have to have Synopsys in it. They're a favored nation.
There is this Reuters piece that quotes some officials from Qualcomm, Intel, Google, trying to convince people or clients that they can migrate out of NVIDIA software platforms.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, do you sense any encroaching competition?
I don't know. I mean, let me make it really clear that Jensen, when I asked him, I said, well, I did ChatGPT, and I said, who's your best partner? And Intel came up, and they're supposed to be sworn enemies. And Jensen quickly said, no, they're our partner. Everybody is Jensen's partner. You can try to get him off his game and say that someone isn't. I questioned about these companies that are developing competitors, and he goes, yeah, that's good. I like that. That's good. I might even help them. I mean, you can't get Jensen off his game that everybody wins. You can't. He didn't say that AMD's going to win. That would be odd since they're competitors. But he obviously has great respect for AMD. He's not a normal executive. He is visionary and does not think about anyone short-term hurting them. He doesn't like stories which say that Amazon's developing its own chip and therefore wants to rival him because they're the best customer, and he'd do anything they want. I mean, he's not a warrior. He's just not. Everything he does is about trying to make things better in the world. He thinks about that. He thinks about what Tim Cook said. He thinks about whether things are wasteful. His favorite thing to talk about is waste.
Is waste.
Waste. He just does not want waste. He doesn't want excess power. He doesn't want any sort of climate change being caused by what he's doing.
Right. At this level then, Jim, given everything we've talked about, 52-20, is this a level at which you are looking to add to equity exposure?
Well, I was, like many people, I would like a downturn. And you got it. I'm beginning to believe that the downturns are so shallow and that there's so many companies that are doing better than we think, large companies. There are, like I saw when John Ford was out there, saw him in San Francisco. I mean, look, Intel is doing the right thing, building here. And then I saw that they had this negative story, and it's a shame because I thought Intel was kind of getting some momentum. Because I'm trying to find companies that are really being hurt right now, and there's not a lot of them. I mean, the large cap retailers are good, the large cap banks are good, large cap industrials are good, large cap healthcare is good. It's hard to find somebody who's bad.
Right. I mean, you could look at the Russell still, 15% off the highs.
Right. Well, the smaller cap is harder. These big cap companies have they have so much flexibility, and they had, I guess you have to say, they have a lot of fat.
What, if that's true, what in the world is going to happen if rates start coming down?
Well, that's why I think that the idea that they're cutting rates at all seems...
Really?
I thought that Powell should have just said, look, we'll have your back if things cool off. There are some pockets of weakness. They're hard to find. The pockets of weakness tend to be related to younger people not being able to spend the way that older people are because of student loan.
Yes.
Because they're the ones that are being most hurt by inflation. But when you take housing, which should be something that should be hurt, they're still being very prudent about how many homes they build, which keeps the price of homes higher. There's a lot of good out there, Carl. A lot of good.
Yeah. We are going to get some new home data at the top of the hour. By the way, Redfin, interesting, almost 6% of listings rolling 4-week average had a price drop.
Yes.
Which is better than we've had the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you raise rates, you get a little bit of a price drop. But I do think that in the end, we're still nowhere near where we were before the pandemic. And 2019 prices were, they were 40% higher than there, and that is a problem.
You saw a DWAC there, Jim.
Yeah, how
are up about 13% or 10% this morning.
Well, I mean, David was saying it's a political story.
Yep.
Hard to value on an earnings story since it has very little. I wish I could contribute more on that one. I think that that's an ungameable situation because it doesn't make sense economically. But, if you like President Trump and you try to get him out of his jam with money, it's an interesting way to fundraise.
Yep. It'll be a busy day for the former president.
Yes.
Not just the payment due, but also the possible court date getting set on the Stormy Daniels hush money case. So there's a lot going on the political front there,
too. Yeah, I just want to go back to something about the grid that you talked about and, how taxed the grid is.
The journal piece?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I mean, Saudi Arabia this week said it's time to abandon the fantasy of phasing out oil and gas. And I think that when you have the grid growing at 5% after having no growth, it does require all systems go and requires every single kind of fuel. I do think that solar is going to be 25% of the fuel by 2030, but the intermittent nature of solar and wind is going to make it so that you better start thinking more nat gas. And nat gas is so inexpensive, and the pipes are so good that I think that we're stuck with it or we're going to use it, but we're very plentiful. We have a lot of nat gas.
This is a story that came out of CERAWeek last
yes.
week. But basically, demand for electricity has been pretty stagnant for years. And now the five-year projection of demand growth right. has doubled in 1 year.
Yeah, and now I do disagree with the stories which say it can't be found. There are a lot of companies that are pretty forward-looking, and they're not going to have a problem. Obviously, it would be better if we had nuclear power, because it's pretty fungible. You can really make a lot of power out of it. But there are a lot of companies that I think are ready, and you just have to put the data centers where they are. And I know this because I had Prologis on, and they built $500 million data center last quarter. And Hamid Moghadam, this is the biggest by far of the companies that do data centers. I mean, they're a REIT that does big boxes. They do warehouse, but they can do data centers. They're not worried at all. Not worried at all about this. So if they're not worried, I'm worried less.
That's reassuring. We're adding a new data center every 3 days.
Well, we need a lot of data centers. Look, if you're in this Blackwell, if you buy the Blackwell, which is so much faster, that's a new NVIDIA. It's not even a chip. It's just a supercomputer. It can do a lot of thinking. It has common sense, which is great. Jensen does not say, I mean, he's become Jensen. He's
like the Oracle?
Yeah. He does not say that they're going to take over the world, because he said, look, they listen to us. But there was a question that I got about whether, like, if it reads a book and takes in a lot of people, does it decide people's view, does it develop its own view? And we don't know. We don't know if it does. But this is not a robot that is lifting pieces of Jell-O. This is a smarter robot than Jensen thought.
There's a look.
Oh, look
yes, that's good. I'm glad we got that.
You know, I still think the Vision Pro was that robot turned out to be a stupid robot. It doesn't have any real, that's all a phony thing. that's not a good robot. Now that robot, okay, so that robot
shaking
made
that
me,
stir.
That's a mocktail, because it was not, if I come back after five, they were ready with the Tito's.
Yeah.
But this was a kind of a very sweet drink, not what I expected. That guy is Santa. He's so smart. You know, by the way, just so you know, like when you're with the NVIDIA people, they do not lord over how smart they are. Just the opposite. They're really, really helpful, which makes you like them more and more and more. Which is why when I was in the Vision Pro and I thought I was in a car, when I stepped out of the car, I lifted my leg.
Yes, of course.
Because I thought for sure I was in a car.
Yeah.
I opened the hood. This thing must be paired with either Carvana. Garcia loves the show. Garcia, listen, you buy this. Have people look at the cars before they just come. When I bought a car, I said, I don't want that. Take it back. I mean, it would have been better if I had looked at it in the Vision Pro.
I'm
about to get in the car, and I'm afraid of falling.
Yeah.
But then I sit down, and it turns, there it is. I mean, now I've got the dashboard. At one point, I say, can I get a coffee? Because they have a coffee cup there, but that was ill-advised. There, right there. I'm looking for the coffee. And I asked whether it was a stick. I can't drive a stick, and they all kind of laugh because I guess they all can drive a stick.
Yes.
I don't know.
That's a really good look at our future.
I'm begging Eddie to call Jensen and say, let's get together. This is the biggest B2B story in years. Siemens will want it. Everybody will want it. So he's got to make that call. I can't make the call for him. See, I'm a journalist.
Yes. we'll take a break here. Dow's down 100 on a busy Monday, as you can tell. Watch bonds as well. We'll get the housing data in about 15 minutes. Bostic and Lisa Cook on the tape today. Although later in the week, we will get Waller on Wednesday, Powell on Friday, along with PCE. Should be interesting. Right now, 10-year 4.24-ish. Back in a minute. Watching Bitcoin today, getting a little bit back after closing a little bit lower on Friday somewhere in the neighborhood of 63K. Stick with us for the top of the hour. An old friend returns to Post 9 in a moment. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
Micron's become a leader, MU, and I think that's a reminder of the stocks that are getting hit. Maybe you should look at the semis, because Micron being up this much tells you that that group is still strong. There is a belief, of course, that China's going to hurt AMD and Intel, but I do point out that this is now become the leader in AI because it's not controversial. Look, I've got to tell you, Supermicro is still a leader.
Got another initiation today out of JP Morgan.
Very, very positive. But don't throw away AMD. I just don't. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. They are the other company. They just need the software. But they're the other company people are going to turn to if they have the software themselves, which not very few have, because there's a big stranglehold. I mean, look, NVIDIA is 100% of the market right now because they, by dint of the fact that they created the software and the hardware and they're well ahead, I think that the idea of having 100% is odd, but they just have the best product. But people will gravitate to AMD if they can't get.
Sure.
Everything's on allocation.
Right, yeah. Yeah, seconds.
Yeah.
All right, Jim, how about tonight?
Okay, I've got a company called MasterBrand. So I'll be going after the companies that are involved with housing, and ASAC. I had Fortune Brands. This is the company that makes cabinets. I don't know. I'm very convinced that the housing cycle is still alive and well. When you lower the prices, it can be really alive and well. It's hard to find a cycle that's not alive and well. I mean, that's why these guys, when they raise their price targets, they should be thinking one cut, just one cut, because there's no cut that's needed, but I don't want to go against. I don't want to do that. Nice tip in that bill.
Sounding a lot like Bostic this
morning.
Yeah,
Bostic's really on target.
Jim, we'll see you tonight.
Okay.
Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern time as we go to break. Dow down 90. We'll get some housing data at the top of the hour. Don't go anywhere.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.